Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Nun Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top of Daf Nun Zayin. Before we start the actual Gemara, and in this case we'll start the Mishnah, let us point out that though we are in the context of a Daf Yomi type shiur, today's shiur, Daf Nun Zayin, may very well include the Gemara on Daf Nun Ches as well. So now the Mishnah. Kinum peros ho'elu olai. A person vows, using this example, this one of several examples that we'll see on this phrase, he prohibits upon himself these fruits, specific fruits that are in front of him. Koinum hein al pi, koinum hein lipi. These are all different expressions of vowing. The result of using this language, Oser b'chilufeinu v'gidulehem, he is prohibiting himself not only from the very fruits that are in front of him, but also anything received in exchange for those fruits, or any subsequent growth that you may plant, if those fruits may be planted and something grows forth from that, those will be prohibited also. The Tosfos elaborates on this. We look at the Tosfos commentary. Kainu peros elu alive, velogar sinon peros elu. In other words, the text should be peros ho elu. Also bechilufan uvegilayan, the kevon dehiskir koinum stam. He phrased his vow using the konom expression, velo hiskir achila. He didn't mention that the fruits are prohibited with regard to eating. He just said, these fruits are prohibited. The result of that, of not mentioning eating, osar atzmo vein bechilufan vein begilayan, it's an expanded prohibition, whereby the money that he may get in exchange for the fruits, or if he plants them and they grow into some new growth, all those will be prohibited. Now, we continue in the Mishnah with another example. He vows, she'eni ocheil, or she'eni to'ein. Here, he mentions eating. Mutar b'chilufehen uvegidulehem. He will be allowed to use the money that he gets in exchange for them, or he'll be allowed to consume their subsequent growth, bedovar shezaro kola. If it's a type of plant that when you put the seed in the ground and a new growth emerges from it, the original seed is no longer there. Avol bedovar she'ein zaro kola. If, let us take for example an onion. Let's say you prohibited yourself from eating through a vow, from eating a particular onion. When you plant an onion, the original onion remains and it simply sprouts new bulbs, additional bulbs grow, and that's how onions develop. So that's an example of a dover she'ein zaro kola. In such a case, afilu gidule gidulin asurim. Then even the subsequent growths and the growths from those are prohibited, because they're viewed as the original item prohibited. Ha'imer li'ishto, koinim maise yodaya cholaya. A man says to his wife that he prohibits upon himself her maise yodayim, her profits. Koinim hein alpi, koinim hein lipi. In using any of these expressions, so he is prohibiting them, and also b'chilufein b'them. If, let us say, she planted a tree, or she sold something that she made, so he'll be prohibited in the chilufen, in the money receive for it. Whereas, as we said, in the case of planting a tree, he'll be prohibited from benefiting from the fruits as well. Very similar to the first section of the Mishnah, there was no mention of eating here, so it's an expanded type vow. However, if he says, Shani Ochel, or Shani Toyim, he's prohibiting himself from that which she produces by way of food, that I will not eat your food, I will not taste your food, then Mutter b'chilufehen uvegilehen b'dover shezara kolashi. The husband is entitled to benefit from any profits she receives in exchange for that which she produced, or if it's a function of something she planted, he'll be entitled to eat the produce from that if the original seed or the original plant that he had prohibited is a type of thing that when it's planted, it disappears. The original seed, the original item disappears. If it's something where the seed remains or the original plant that was put in the ground remains and simply new growths emerge, additional growths emerge, then afilu gidule gidulim asurim. And even the growths that result from the growths are prohibited because we are viewing it as the original Esor is still there. And now, the Mishnah has a new series of vow situations that are, we'll say, time-related. A husband says, Sha'at oisa, eini oichel, ad ha-pesach. Sha'at oisa, eini miskase, ad ha-pesach. He vows not to benefit from that which she produces, that he vows not to eat from that which she produces, that she makes, until Pesach. Or he won't cover himself if she makes clothing until Pesach. Osta lifnei ha-Pesach, if she produced items before Pesach, muter lechol uliskasos achar ha-Pesach. He can use those items after Pesach. The vow was, in terms of things that she makes, he will not benefit from until Pesach. So Pesach is the end time with regard to his self-imposed prohibited benefit. Now we're going to have a very, very similar vow with very different results. So we have to pay close attention to the language. He says he prohibits upon himself, She'at oisa, at a Pesach, eini ochel. Notice the difference. In example 1, we have a diamond marked number 1, just a few lines up. There he said, She'at oisa, the timing, the Pesach time limit was not attached to the asiya, to the producing, to the production, but rather it was on his benefit. He won't eat it until Pesach. In this case, the time element is attached not to his action, but to the production of the item. So he says here, She'at oisa ad ha-Pesach, that which you produce from now till Pesach, eini ochel, I'm not going to eat. She'at oisa ad ha-Pesach, eini miskas, anything that, any clothing that you make until Pesach, I will not wear. Also, if they Pesach, if she makes things before Pesach, we didn't point out earlier, but it's kind of self-evident, he's vowing, he's uttering the vow itself a month before Pesach, for example. And if she produces something before Pesach, also lefnei Pesach, also lechol eskasos achra Pesach, anything she produces before Pesach, he has vowed not to benefit from, unlimited by way of time. Anything she makes before Pesach, he is permanently prohibiting himself from. And now, some new examples, also with a time element. And these examples we have seen in the past. A man says to his wife, She'at nehenis li, on HaPesach, he imposes a restriction on his wife to benefit from him until Pesach, im hoileches at lebeis avich ad hachag. Chag is Sukkot time. So in terms of the calendar, let us imagine that a month before Pesach he says this. He says, I'm prohibiting you to benefit from me until Pesach. If you go to your father's house until Sukkot. Now, you have to understand that there's 6 months between Pesach and Sukkot. Sukkot is 6 months later. And he's making this vow a month before Pesach. And he's telling her, I'm prohibiting you from benefiting any benefit from me until Pesach, if you end up going to your father's house from this point until Sukkot. What is the result then? Holcha, if she goes to her father's house, lifnei ha-Pesach, so then that activates the vow quite immediately in this case. Asura b'hanoso ad ha-Pesach. So she cannot benefit from him. She's right now, the vow has kicked in, and the vow stated that she will be prohibited in benefiting from him until Pesach. Now, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Let us say that this woman goes to her father's house after Pesach. And let us assume that she, in fact, did benefit from him before Pesach. She benefited before Pesach. But don't forget, she was warned not to go. In other words, any benefit that she may have received will cause her to be in violation of the vow if she goes to her father's house up till Sukkot time. So if she had benefited from her husband before Pesach, though not having gone to her father's house before Pesach, but yes, after Pesach, the result is, but Baal Yachel, she is in violation, we'll say retroactively, of having benefited from her husband. As we saw in a sugya much earlier in the Masechta, if she wanted to play it safe, she simply would have avoided benefiting from her husband up till Pesach time. Then she would have been free from any violation, because even if she went to her father's house after Pesach, there was no prohibition for her to have violated, for she would not have had benefit from her husband until Pesach. But that scenario is not featured here in the Mishnah. Another case, he says, a husband says, Shatnen isli ad hachag, im hoylechesat lebeis avich ad ha-Pesach. Once again, he's speaking a month before Pesach, and he says that I'm imposing upon you a prohibition of benefiting from me for the next 7 months. You shall not receive any benefit from me until Sukkot time. Chag is Sukkot. If you go to your father's house up till Pesach, holcha lefnei ha-Pesach, if she in fact went to her father's house before Pesach, asur banoso ad ha-Chag, she is not allowed to benefit from her husband up till Sukkot. Umuteres leilech achar ha-Pesach, she is allowed to go to her father's house after Pesach. The only restriction that had ever been imposed on her was the visitation to her of her father's house up till Pesach. As far as her going to her father's after Pesach, that is of no concern. As we look on in the Gemara, we're going to be starting a sugya now that I mentioned at the outset is going to be a sugya that's going to be cause us to spill over the standard dafyomi quota that we tried to adhere to. But in this case, we're going to in fact break up a sugya, but that lasts till daf samach amud aleph. We have a topic heading, the nosei, and we indicate till Samach Hamad Alpha means a very long sugya as far as by way of dach counting. And the topic is Gidulei Heter Sherovu Al Ikoro Shoya Osir. Something is planted. The basic plant that's put in the ground is something that had been, that is prohibited. But it grows, gets larger and larger and larger. That's called the Gidulei Heter. The additional growth, the subsequent growth, is something not prohibited. And what is considered prohibited, so we'll see many different examples in the Gemara. So we can speak right now in general terms, where subsequent permissible growth outnumbers is the majority over the original prohibited plant. Kagon, Basel Shel Shvius, imagine an onion of the seventh year. The seventh year, the Shemitah year, is a year in which things that grow, first of all, you're not allowed to cultivate them, and agricultural activity is forbidden. And you happen to have an onion that grew during the Shemitah year, and part of the rules of Shemitah is that when an item becomes unavailable to in the wild, in other words, animals that are roaming around will have no access to it simply because it's gone out of season. So any vegetation that's like that, you have an obligation, if you have it in your possession, you have an obligation of destroying it. It's called biur. You might be familiar with the term biur chometz, the destruction, the burning of chometz before the onset of the Pesach holiday. So there's a similar concept with regard to Shemitah produce of the seventh year, that when it goes out of season, it becomes prohibited. So we had an onion like that, an onion during of the Shemitah year, after the prohibition set in. It's considered then a forbidden thing, something would need to be destroyed. And then you planted it in the eighth year. The eighth year is a time that agricultural activity is mutter. So you have your basic onion that's prohibited, you planted it and it grew, it expanded. And to the point that the subsequent growth was greater in quantity than the original prohibited item. That's the general theme. Subsequent growth that outnumbers, constitutes a majority over the original prohibited material. Is the prohibited material then botel? Is it considered voided? Is it considered as if it's not there anymore? Or not so? The Gemara opens up with a quote from the Mishnah. Ho'imer li'ishtoi koinem ma'isei yodaya cholai. Koinem hein al pi. Koinem hein lipi v'chulei. We have a firebox marking, one of our rare markings, but it indicates that this name, more accurately, that which he represents, is going to last a long time in the sugya, and in our case, it certainly will, all the way till Daf Samach. Yishmuel ish Kfar Yoma. Kfar Yoma is the name of his place. Yishmuel from that place, Kfar Yoma. The Amri Lo, another version of his place, is ish Kfar Dima. He lo biyodo botzel she okroi b'shvias v'notoi b'shminis. The double underline marking is to emphasize throughout the sugya the item that is the, we'll say, the beginning, what's called the ikur, the original item, and then you'll see the Gemara makes reference then to the subsequent growth. But in this case, we're talking about a shvius, a Shemitah year onion. Later, you can see a double underline, botzel shel truma. Then you'll see botzel shel notoi b'kerem, different types of original Isurim. In this case, we're dealing with an Isur of Shavias. And he took this Shemitah onion and planted it in the eighth year of the sabbatical cycle. It's the first year of the new sabbatical cycle. We sometimes refer to as the eighth year. V'rovu gidulav al ikoro. And the subsequent growth outnumbered the original amount of botzol, of onion that was there. V'hachi ka mibayale. And the following is the question that arose, that appeared to him. What question? Gidulav heter v'ikoro iser. Where the subsequent growth is permitted. Of course, we're talking about eighth year produce. The additional onions that grew, or the additional layers of onion that emerged during the eighth year is quite permissible. And the ikur, the original bulb, onion bulb, was a seventh year onion, which is prohibited, meaning after the biur, as we explained earlier, you would have had to get rid of it. The cave on the Ravu Gidulov al Ikoro, and since the subsequent growth outnumbered the original, Oisan Gidule Heter, Malinus Oiser Oiloi, does the subsequent allowed growth, Malin would mean is Mevatel, does it cancel, does it void, does it neutralize the original prohibited part or not? As far as this question is concerned, there are two possible schools of thought. Either it does cancel or not. And we're going to see a number of names. And this Gemara will demand of us remembering or following the names. Hence, the markings might be very helpful to many of us because of the plethora of names that will appear. So initially, Osla Kame, the Rebbe Ami, Lohafa Biodi. Originally, the question was, he came to Rav Ami with this question and he did not have an answer. You see, we have a little arrow. Later, the question is presented again to Rav Ami and he has an answer. But in the meantime, Rav Ami doesn't have an answer. Osla Kame, the Rebbe Yitzchak Nafcha, Poshatle, Minhoda, the Omar Rabbi Hanina, Trisa, Omar Rabbi Yanai. So the question was brought to Rabbi Yitzchak, and he answered it based on that which Rabbi Yanai says. There are a few names here. In the middle, you have Rabbi Hanina Trisa. Trisa is the name of his place, and who quoted Rabbi Yanai. Now, the marking that you see this trapezoid shape. It's on the side of the Gemara. We feature it. Deos shegdelin shegidulin mevatlim ha'ikar. With the narrow part of the volcano shape facing upwards, that represents an opinion that the subsequent growth does void, cancel, or neutralize the original. The inverted trapezoid are deos she'ein gidulin mevatlin ikar. So now, the first opinion that we see is Rav Yanai, and Rav Yanai doesn't talk about a botzel of shvius. He talks about a different type of botzel whose ikar is prohibited. Botzel shel truma. Truma is the tithe that one separates from his produce and is given to kohanim. Only kohanim are allowed to partake of truma. Non-kohanim are forbidden in consuming truma. So he took a botzel of truma, shenotoi, verovu gidulov al ikoro, mutter. The onion, after its additional growth outnumbers the original botzol, it is mutter. So the onion is described as something that's not prohibited to others. Omar le Rav Yirmiya v'tem Rav Zrika. So Rav Yirmiya, some versions have Rav Zrika saying to Rav Yitzchok Nafcha, Shavik mor train v'ovit kichat, you abandon two opinions in favor of one. In other words, you chose an opinion that's lenient, that allows the subsequent allowed growth to neutralize the original prohibited substance. That's only one opinion. There are two opinions that are restrictive, that don't say that the original is canceled. The Gemara asks, Man, Ninhu, Train, who are the two? So just by way of the markings, you scan along, you can see we have numberings, you can see immediately two inverted volcanoes indicating two restrictive approaches. So who are they? The Amar Rabbi Yavo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yolda Shisibcha Bezekena, Ubo Peros. Yolda literally means a young thing, In this case, we're referring to a branch from an orla tree. An orla tree is a fruit tree within its first 3 years of growth. The fruit on that branch is prohibited. In this case, he grafted the young branch onto a tree, an old tree, beyond a tree more than 3 years old. And it now continues growing. So you have fruits that were on this, we'll call it this orla branch, and now it continues growing while grafted onto the adult or old tree. Afapi shows sifa mosayim osir, even though the subsequent growth was 200 times the original growth. In other words, it grew 200 times the original amount after it was grafted. We see that, and you see the ruling is that that is prohibited, so that the additional growth does not cancel the isur, the prohibition. The Omar of Shmuel Barabi Yanechemi, Nachmeni, Omar of Yoinason, Botzel Shanota Bekerem, a botzel that was planted in a vineyard. This is an isur of Kilei HaKerem, of having vegetation planted in the midst of a vineyard. It's called kilayim. So you have a botzal that was planted in a vineyard, the ne'ekar hakerem, and the vineyard was uprooted, leaving the botzal there continuing to grow in a permissible environment, meaning no neighboring vines anymore. Usur. The botzal, even though there was subsequent heter growth, it remains prohibited. Hoder also lekame dravami uposhit le min hoda. Now the original question, this issue was brought once again to Rabami, and he poshit means he resolves it. And you're going to see next volcano shape, even though it's Rabbi Yochanan, but it's a different version. The narrow part is pointing upwards. So now, as you can see in some of the Meforshim, we're creating a situation of two against two. So what does Rav Ami do here? He does resolve it, as opposed to what we saw before. That was the arrows we made reference to. And Rav Ami resolves it min hoda. We have a new marking. This is a crown shape, and on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, we've written, these are Nisyonos Limtso Od Manda Omar De Gidulim Mevatlim Es Ha'ikur Lekula Kemo Be'inyin Shel Yishmael. In other words, we're trying to find another opinion. So we're going to have you'll notice that there's a back and forth structure. The crown shape with the points facing up are going to be attempts to find that, we'll call that second opinion of leniency. But not every attempt will be successful, and hence you can see there's an inverted crown shape that follows. So at this point, there's an attempt to resolve in the direction of leniency, and Rav Ami resolves it min hoda di omer Rabbi Yitzchok, omer Rabbi Yochanan, from the following statement of Rabbi Yochanan, litra betzolim. A litra is a measure, like we're familiar with a liter. Whether today's liter is the same as a litra is beyond the scope of our discussion, but it's a measure. Measure of bitzolim shetikna vizora. Tikna means it was tithed. It was properly tithed. And they were planted. Misaseres lefi kula. When you harvest the onions at the end of the growing season, you have to tithe all of them. All of them, meaning including whatever you had originally put in the ground. What you originally put in the ground was already tithed. Theoretically, it doesn't need to be tithed again, but you see here it does need to be tithed again. What does that show us? Alma oisun gidulin mevatlin ikur. You see that the subsequent growth neutralizes and cancels, voids the original. The Gemara says, from here we can't bring a support to a position of leniency that Yishmael was seeking earlier. He was dealing with an original prohibited onion. And what was the result of the subsequent growth? Will it neutralize it and allow, and as a result, everything will be allowed? Here, you have an original mutter onion. Notice the difference. An original allowed onion being planted, and the subsequent growth is a source of stringency. So, and that's what the Gemara says here, Dilma l'chumra shayni. It could be that where the result is a stringency, in this case the insistence on tithing everything anew, that's a stringency. So when it comes to stringency, yes, we'll say that the subsequent growth voids the original, because we're going in the direction of expecting more of you. So that doesn't help us, so to speak, in our quest. As we said before, the case that Yishmael was dealing with was a question of whether subsequent growth cancels original prohibited growth in the direction of leniency. Elo min hoda desanya. So rather, we're going to try to resolve the issue, again, in the direction of leniency, from the following Tanaic source. And this Tanaic source is rather long. It covers half of Nun Ches Omer Aleph. I hope everyone has their marked Gemara available. And if not, if one wants to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. So we have a source, Desanya, Rabbi Shimon Oimer. Rabbi Shimon tells us, Kol, we're at the top of Daf Nun Ches Omer Aleph. Take note, we've gone to the top of Daf Nun Ches Omer Aleph. Kol Dovar Shieshlo Matirin Kagoin Tevel. And the source goes on with a list of items that come under this heading, things that have Matirin. What does that mean? We're referring to something that is presently prohibited, but it could become allowed. It could become Mutter. Dovar Shieshlo Matirin. What is included in that list? Kagoin Tevel. Umayser Shani, what Tevel is untied produce. Well, untied produce as is forbidden, but it has Matirin once you tied it. It becomes Mutter. Mayser Shani, the Hekdish, Mayser Shani is produce that's tithed in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the sabbatical cycle. It's 10% that is separated as a tithe, and you bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. And if not, you have the option of redeeming it. So Maaser Sheni can be redeemed. Hekdesh, something sanctified, can also be redeemed. The Chodosh are new grains that, when harvested, become allowed, the new season's grains become allowed for personal use after the 16th of Nisan, when the Omer is brought. So these items, Tevel, Maaser Sheni, Hekdesh, Chodosh, Lo nosnu ben chachomim shiur. That means if they get mixed up with permitted things, no matter what the amount of prohibited stuff, whether it's tevel or maaser sheni that gets mixed in, whatever the amount is, the entire mixture is forbidden. Because there is instead of relying on bittul of cancellation, there's another way of achieving permission, and we alluded to that just a moment before, whether it's redemption or waiting till the proper date. V'chol davar she'ein lo matirin, things that are by their very nature forbidden and they remain forbidden. Kagon truma utrumas ma'aser v'chalav yorlo v'kilah kerem, the truma tithe, we explained that earlier. Trumas ma'aser is the tithe that a levi separates from his ma'aser rishon and then gives the Trumas Meister to the Kohen. Chala is a dough tithe given to Kohanim. The Orla, we had that before, the fruits before the third year of the tree's growth. Kilei Kerem, vegetation that grows in a vineyard. These are items that are objectively prohibited, and they cannot become mutter. Nosnu Behem Chachomim Shir. There's a different quantity for each one of these things, if they fall into a mixture of permitted stuff. That's the Chachamim assigned a ratio, a quantity in which there could be bittul, cancellation. Amru lo. So the Chachamim said to Rabbi Shimon, you, Rabbi Shimon, just stated a rule. And the rule was, just to review it, Dover Sheish lo matirin, there's no bittul. Dover Shein lo matirin, there is bittul. So they asked him, Falo Shvius ein lo matirin. Shvius is an example of something that once it becomes prohibited, it remains prohibited. V'lo nosnu bo chachamim shiur. Disnan, the chachamim do not assign a quantity of neutralizing, meaning if the shvius produce falls into a mixture of permitted produce, the whole batch is prohibited. Disnan, and here we have to wait to see exactly the illustration of that. It says in this source, Hashvius Oiseres Kol Shehu Bemina. Shvius produce, if it falls into, let's say you have Shvius oranges with non-Shvius oranges, like substances. That's Mina, means its own kind. That's a mixture known as Min Bemino. There is Kolshu means any amount of shvius, even if it's a very a minuscular amount of shvius relative to the surrounding permitted environment, it's all prohibited. Omar lahen, so Rabbi Shimon says back, lo amarti elo lebiur avol laachila benoy saint tam. I acknowledge that there is no permission, that there's no shiur. That's when it comes to bior. And we'll take a look at the Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines of Rashi. He says, Elo lebior, she'im nota botzel shel shishis, ve'notoi b'shvius, vosifa kol shehu. So he took a botzol of the sixth year, which is allowed, planted it in the shmita year, the hosifa kolshu, Rashi says, and it added a little bit more growth. Oisa kolshu mevatel seiker. That a little extra seventh year growth cancels the original umechayev kuva babiur lemotzoi shvius, and the whole onion will then have to be destroyed at the end of the shmita year. Avol achila, she'im, Rashi continues, shimnis arvu perus shvius beperus shminis li'achar shimnis chayvu bebior. If seventh year produce gets mixed in with eighth year produce after the bior time set in, v'lo biaron, and he didn't destroy them, the hashto kaimi be'isur achila, and now you're dealing with a problem of seventh year produce that's usur, that's forbidden to eat. Eino oiseres ela benoy saint tam. The prohibited the presence of prohibited fruits will affect the entire mixture only if there is enough of the prohibited to impart their taste. Their taste could be perceived amongst the rest. This is a little bit beyond the scope of our current sugya, but no Saint Tom is an amount that often is associated with 1/60th. In other words, if you have 60 times the heter, then the iser will be neutralized. The in vim ein ba beno Saint Tom is batel, and if there is enough of the heter, of the allowed substance, to cancel any taste that the prohibited would impart, then the prohibited is canceled. Now we get to the main point. Umi dekotoni lo amarti lula bior digidulin mevatlin esoiker. That which Rabbi Shimon says that something she'ein lo matirin has no shiur. Something that Rabbi Shimon's rule was something that has no matirin does have a shiur, So he explains that in the case of the Shvius, even though it's something that has no matirin, there is a shiur with regard to achila, as we just saw in the Rashi. With regard to biur, so there it's true, ein lo shiur. And here we're focusing on that point, though. From that which we are taught now, that Rabbi Shimon limits his comment to biur, where the gidulim have no, where the gidulim are mevatel, the little bit of, we saw the little bit of subsequent seventh year growth on a sixth year onion is mevatel the ikur. Hosanami bebaya shel Yishmael. Well, we can use that principle and apply it to the original question of Yishmael and say gidulov mevatlin eso ikur. And with that, what would we end up saying? Remember Yishmael's example? The Botzel Sha'okro B'Shvias V'Noto B'Shminis? The subsequent growth should mevatel the Shemitah onion. The Gemara says, once again, you cannot resolve Yishmael's case from this case. The Dilma, the Gemara says, you see the inverted crown shape? The Dilma Ha'anami L'Chumra Shaini. In this case, too, the result was a stringency. What was the case? We saw it in the Rashi. He took a sixth-year onion, and there was subsequent seventh-year growth, making the onion a seventh-year onion. So in order to make the onion into a seventh-year onion with all of its restrictions, there we'll say that the subsequent growth is the determining factor. But in Yishmael's case, where it was an issue of taking a seventh-year onion and having the eighth-year subsequent growth, which is a mutter growth, determining the identity, that far we might not go, because that is a leniency, having the eighth-year additional growth be the determining factor. Ela min hoda poshtab. So as far as Rav Ami, in trying to resolve in the direction of leniency, so he would have done so from the following, the Snan. And you can see another Tanaic source, Bitsolim, onions of the sixth year. Sheyordu aleim gishomim vitzomchu. Rain fell, and they stay in the ground, in this case, into the seventh year. Seventh year rains fell, and they grew. Im hoyu erlin shelahem shchoyrim asurim. If the leaves that emerge from the ground of these onion plants are dark in color, that's a simen, that's a sign that they grew as a result of the water, the rainfall of the seventh year. So these onions are asur. Horiku mutarin. Horiku indicates a color that would symbolize, I'll say, withering of the plant, drying out. If the leaves don't have that healthy dark look to them, they're mutter. It's a simen. It's a sign they didn't grow at all during the Shemitah year. Rabbi Chananya ben Antignus Oimer im yecholin litlosh be'olim shelem asurin. If these onion plants are strong enough that you can pull them out of the ground by grabbing their leaves, so they're usser. It shows that there's been additional growth and strengthening of the plant in the seventh year. So that indicates that they would have a din of seventh year onions. And if not, then they would not be prohibited. Ukenegdon lemoitsoi shvius mutorin. That means if you had seventh-year onions that continue to grow into the eighth year, and there's enough strength in the leaves that you could pull them out of the ground, that would show that the gidulei heter, that the subsequent eighth-year growth, cancels as mevatel the ikur. And here you have an example of a heter. If you have it's the subsequent eighth-year growth, which is mutter, canceling the seventh-year original onion. And this is a parallel then to the Yishmael case. What was the Yishmael case? That was the case of the onion of Shemitah that was planted in the eighth year. It took a seventh year onion, planted the eighth year. Then there was additional growth. So this would be a good example. Lameimra de gidulei heter marlin esoiser. Here we have the source that the gidulei heter, the subsequent eighth year growth, cancels the seventh year original product, original onion. The Gemara rejects this also. The Dilma b'meduchanim. It might be that we're talking in this case about onions that were crushed, that were ground up, and there is no ikur, there's no original substance that is extant. We say in Hebrew, we say be'ein. It's no longer there. It's been ground up. So in a case like that, there's room for leniency. If we take a look together at the Rashi, that is found four lines from the end of the Rashi commentary, I might say that in general, subsequent heter growth does not cancel original prohibited substance. And here that we see that there is a voiding of the original prohibition. What is it talking about? B'meduchanim, it's ground up. Klomar, haytikatanu chenegdom isoy shvius mutarin. The teaching here that the corresponding eighth year scenario would be allowed. Kedon shehudchu shekoshem b'meduchay, were crushed in a crusher. The lesson likon by nayu, the original prohibited is not there anymore. It's ground up. Avobai di Shmuel di isay likubain ikun lemeimar. But the original Yishmoel question, where the original prohibited item was still there, it's just outnumbered, maybe it wouldn't be voided. Hello, we continue in the Gemara. You can see the resilience of Rab Ami, or at least of the Gemara, in not accepting any of these rejections. We try again, Ela min hoda desanya, from the following source. And we continue now at the top of Amud Beis. We're at Nun Ches Amud Beis. HaMenachish imakusi b'chosios. Menachish is what we would call weeding out. He's weeding out together with a kusi. Chosios, kusi is a person who's comes from a people whose original conversion to Judaism is questionable. And they're weeding out chosios. You'll see that the Gemara will explain what they are later on. So it's important just to realize that at this point, we're not going to explain, but later it will be dealt with. So there's weeding out in the amongst the chosios vegetation. Oichel mehen achilas aroy u'ma'asron vaday. You're entitled to eat from it, like snacking. Achilas aroy means a non-permanent type eating, mean a non-established eating, rather snacking. And when you sit down to eat a regular meal of it in your house, you'll have to tithe from them with a total certainty that they need tithing. The Kusi people that we just mentioned are people that aren't diligent in tithing. Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Oimer, Im Yisrael Choshed al Shvius, Lemoitzoi Shvius Mutter. We take a look at Rashi, third line from the top. Im Yisrael choshed al Shvius, shechoshed, he is suspect, shenotea chosios Shvius b'shminis, he would take seventh year chosios, and the biur time goes by, and he plants them, instead of destroying them, he plants them in the eighth year. Yisrael menach shimo b'shminis, mutulo lecho mehem. And the Jew, let's say diligent Jew, careful Jew, who's working alongside this guy, is allowed to eat from them. Mishum de gidulei heter shegadlu b'shminis ma'alin es iser, because the subsequent development in the eighth year cancels the original prohibited part. V'shosas l'meimra d'gidulei heter malin esesir. That the subsequent eighth year growth, motzoi shvius in the source, is it means the year after the eighth, the year after the seventh, the eighth year. So we see that the gidulei heter malin is mevatel the original prohibited amount. The Gemara tries to reject this and says, "V'dilma b'davar shezaroi kola." Maybe we're talking about that type of plant that, though the original was prohibited, zaro kola, the seed, the original kola disintegrates, is no longer there. The Gemara says, that can't be. Hotanya, elu hein chosios, kagon haluf hashum vabitzolim. The term chosios that we left undefined earlier is here defined. Chosios includes plants, names luf, shum is often translated as garlic, bitzolim often translated as onions. These are things where ein zaram kola. The original doesn't disappear, and the and even so, the subsequent mutter growth does cancel the original. So here we would have, at this point, we would have an additional ruling of leniency, like the original question of Yishmael. In other words, a case of subsequent heter growth canceling an original Isser growth when the original Isser is still there. We have a note, a structural note, and you notice there's a slight change in the way we're marking with the crowns. So on the side of the ones of the Mivneh, you have this new crown design, the dashed crown top. It's a makap. B'shlaf hazeh, ha-gemor lo mevia oid mekoros lomar, de gidulin mevatlin ho'ikir. Gam lekula, the Gemara is not going to bring any more sources to prove anything concerning the subsequent growth, canceling the original growth, even if it were to demonstrate a leniency. Elodona im beemes efshela hasik hochi mehamokor de menachish. So this menachish source at this point looks like a good source to show leniency. The back and forth crown marking now is simply to analyze, is this source really a good source or not? And you can see we describe the crowns with the points facing upwards. Menachish have moker lukula. That will say that the Menachish source is a good source to demonstrate leniency. The inverted crown, the chiyah, would be a rejection. So let's continue. Is the Menachish source good? Maybe it's a zaro kola. No, it's not a zaro kola. And that's the last thing we said. We continue in the Gemara text, V'dilma b'meduchanin. Maybe though the original is not there because it's been crushed, like we mentioned before, and hence it would not be parallel to the original Yishmael question. The Gemara says, Choshud al hashvius kotani. We're talking in this source of someone who is suspect of violating halacha, violating the rules of Shemitah. He's not going to trouble himself to crush things in order to achieve permission, to achieve leniency. He's a person that doesn't care. There's a Rashi. You see there's a star in the Rashi. Tritz holo motzis amris dechosha shvius kotani. The kevin dechoshed who, since he's a person that is suspect, lo mashkich leila chilo nidochen, he's not going to go out of his way to feed the people that are working with him, that are diligent, things that are crushed in order to make it easier to cancel the original problem. Ushleimim achilim, he's going to feed the people that are working along with him, complete ones. And with that in mind, we can still conclude that subsequent heter growth does cancel original prohibited growth. The Gemara continues, Vedilma betaroivis. Rashi here says, Vedilma roivis, Shemuravin oisan chosyos bein sha'ar yerokos shel heter v'oichlon al yedei taroivis. Maybe the case here is that the problematic chosyos are mixed together with other vegetables that are totally mutter, and he's eating them as part of a mixture. Mishum hachishari hoyel delesei liikur bein, since the original prohibited one is not identifiable. If you have the original plant simply with additional layers of growth on it, like the Yishmael question, maybe under those circumstances the subsequent heter growth would not cancel the original Isser. The Gemara responds, you can't say that we're talking about a case of Taroivis Hamenachesh Kotoni. We're talking about them weeding the plants. He's eating them as they are, as they're weeding them out. They're not part of a mixture. So then, once again, we have a good source. So if you're following simply the markings, you can see that the very last crown is indicative of the Menachish source being a good source to demonstrate leniency. Well, if that's the case, Leimor Tevi Tufte de Rebbe Yochanan u de Rebbe Yonason. Do you remember these names? And you can see where these names come back from Daf Nun Zayin with Beis. And fortunately, even though we've spilled over our Daf Yomi quota, these shitas, because we learned them as part of today's shir, should still be relatively fresh. They were back on Daf Nun Zayin Omid Beis. They were the two, if you recall, the inverted volcano shapes indicating stringency. One cited an Orla situation, and the other cited a Kile HaKerem situation, and their conclusion had been that the subsequent growth does not cancel the original Isser. So, and here we have subsequent growth, yes, canceling original Isser. Shall we therefore say that we have a Tanaic source that refutes the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonason? The Gemara, having raised this question, you'll notice, by the way, a new marking. The triangle is here as part of a ma'akaf. So if you glance at the side under our topic heading, let's review the point we're dealing with right now by looking at the topic heading. Le'or ha'chacha mi'menachish, in light of the proof from the Menachish source here at the top of Nun Ches Amid Beis, the Gidulin Mevatlin Ho'ikur, that subsequent growth does cancel original, Le'imotevi Tifti Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yonason Desavri Delo Mevatlin. So shall we say that this source represents a refutation of their respective opinions? Under the Mivneh heading, the triangle is featured, and it's a Ma'akav to keep track of the back and forth. The triangle point facing up represents a kushya, a challenge to them, and the inverted triangle represents a tiritzin, a response. So shall we say that this source represents a refutation of their opinion? Omar Rebbe Yitzchok. So Rebbe Yitzchok responds and says, Shanyo Shvius. This source was dealing with Shemitah. Their examples were dealing with Orla and Kili HaKerem. Shvius is different. Hayol v'isura al yedei karka, b'teilosa nami al yedei karka. The Pasuk says, v'shov saharetz. The Shemitah year represents a year in which the land is to be fallow, to be at rest. V'shov, so like the word Shabbos, it takes a rest, takes a break during the Shemitah year. And hence, things that are cultivated during the Shemitah year are prohibited. It's a violation, but it's a land-related violation. So Shemitah, since its violation is through the land, its cancellation, its voiding, the voiding of the problem is also through the land. This is in contrast to Orla and Kiliat Kerem, the root of whose prohibition is not the land per se. Orla is a time issue. It's a dependent on what year of the tree's life it's in. And Kiliat Kerem is a function of man's intervention, where he planted it in a prohibited fashion. The Rush commentary, the Rush develops this. Let's take a look at what he says. In the wider lines of the Rush, the lines under the Rashi commentary, if you count down about six lines in the Rush, the wide lines under the Rashi, Shanya Shvias Hoyul, Bisrael Yedei Karka, B'tel Sanam Yedei Karka, Kolomar, Ba'oido Mechuba Lekarka, Yoitse Meheter Le'isur, Shiyoitse Mishishis Le'shvias, V'chein Me'isur Le'heter, Mishvias Le'shminis. While it's still in the ground, it goes from one status to another. If it's sixth year to seventh year, it goes from heter to iser, from permission to prohibition. If you're dealing with a plant going from seventh into eighth year, it's going from a state of prohibition to a state of permission, permissibility. V'hoil v'iser v'heter misarvin me'atzmon, since the prohibited and the allowed intermingle on their own, chashvinon luhu muravin, they're considered intertwined, mixed together. And therefore the subsequent allowed permitted growth can cancel the original prohibited growth. Aval orlu v'kila kerem, she'i efshu l'sarev yachad, isur v'heter mi'atzmo b'mechubar, beloi maise yedei adam. The Isurim that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonason refer to, namely Orla and Kiliat Kerem, they don't mix together. The Isur and Heter there do not mix together without human intervention. Kagon, be'Orla, al yedei shesipcha b'zikena. The Orla is the branch that had fruits on it from within the first 3 years. It cannot be mixed with heter unless there's something human, there's a human proactive intervention. Namely, the person actively takes the branch of the orla and inserts it and grafts it onto the adult tree. Ubikilayim ayadei akiras akerem. And as far as the iser of the kilayim, unless the surrounding vineyard is uprooted, you won't have a mixture of it iser with heter. And therefore, because they're dependent, Orla and Kiliat Kerem, in order for the iser and heter to intermingle, you need to have a human intervention. Lo chashvinon lehumu rovin. They're not considered mixed together. V'domi lemevatel iser b'yadayim. And they represent cases where you are proactively trying to cancel that which is prohibited, which is something that we don't accept in halacha. We don't allow. We say we have a concept: ein mevatlin iser lechatchila, hilkoch ein gidulin malin eso ikur. Therefore, in their cases, the subsequent heter growth, which comes about only because of human intervention, is not capable of voiding or canceling the original iser. So, if you thought that the Menachesh source at the top of this omit, which was a case of Shvius, would be a refutation of Rabbi Yonus and Rabbi Yochanan, you're wrong. They're simply very different in their essence. Shvius is something where the iser and heter can intermingle automatically, memeila. That's through their simply remaining in the ground. Not so in the case of Orla and Kiliat Kerem, and therefore they will, we'll say, they resist the cancellation possibility. The Gemara asks, V'hare Meiser, the Surah Yedei Kaka, V'ein B'teiloso Al Yedei Kaka. Rabbi Yitzchak wanted to say that Shvius is something that, since its Iser is through the Karka, is its Iser is through its growth in the ground on the Shemitah year, so its cancellation also comes through the ground. And as we described, it's Mimela, it's without your intervention. Ah, but Meiser is a, let's say, is a challenge to that position. Meiser, we know, is Iser Al Yedei Karka, but the Betei law is not, the cancellation is not through Karka, Desanya. This, I'm going to just say that at this point, it's quite vague. We haven't explained it. We're just challenging it in terms of, we'll say, a principle or a formula. We haven't explained the details. What we will do before we read the Gemara itself, we'll look at the Rush who explains the Gemara based on things that we haven't learned yet in the text, but we'll use the Rush as introduction. So we pick up the Rush where we left off. Vare meiser de isuro ayadei karkahu de hazorea saw tvua metukenes. If a person takes some grains that he had once harvested and he tithed them, chosra lios tevel, upon their being planted in the ground and grow into new stalks of grain, they become tevel. They become tevel means they become viewed as untithed. V'ein b'telosei de karka, the Rosh goes on, k'she misarvin memela gidelin minho ikr. The subsequent growth happens on its own, and they grow forth from the original permitted, and yet it's not botel. So you have additional growth while in the ground, and it doesn't become botel. Now, that's still a bit vague. So we'll go through the continuation of the Gemara, through it with the example, Desanya. Litra Meiser Tevel. The Meforshim explain you have a Levi. A Levi is someone who receives Meiser Rishon as a tithe, and the Levi received his portion and had not tithed the Meiser Rishon. That's called Litra Meiser Rishon Tevel. The Levi, upon receiving his tithe, has to take off 10% of it and give it to a Kohen. Well, he didn't do so. So you have Litra, so a measure of Meiser, that's Tevel. Shezor Bekarka, Vishbicha. And the grains grew into new plants. Varei Ke'eser Litrin. And now, instead of 1 liter, you have 10 liter of new growth. 10 liter means altogether 9 liter of new growth plus the original litra. Chayovin b'meiser u'b'shvius. The oisa litra. Now chayeves b'meiser u'b'shvius means they have to be tithed, and if it's a function of the growth in the 7th year, when the biur time comes, they have to be destroyed. The oisa litra ma'aser le mimokom acher lefi cheshbon, and here is really the key point in this source. And to appreciate it, we look again at the Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at is on the third of the widest lines at the end. The oisa litra shezora ben Levi kshenu museres. That original liter quantity that was planted by the Levi when it was not tithed, the Trumas Meiser tithe had not been removed from it. Afal pi she'isra achshav, even though upon harvesting it, he does all the tithing. Tzorich la'asra pam shnia Trumas Meiser sheniach halevi eshtakei shlohifish mimena. He has to take a second Trumas Maaser, even though he's taking off all the proper tithes from it now, it seems to me that he's also removing a current Trumas Maaser. He has to take off an additional Trumas Maaser, an additional 10% of the original amount, of the original litra. Shebedinhu shelo yistakir b'kach shezorik sheno musas. We don't want him to benefit from having planted stuff that hadn't been properly tithed. The Rashi goes on, Masrila mimokamacher, miperish shelishtakev. He will have to remove the tithe from last year's produce. Vizel mama or mimokamacher, velo miperish shoshona zu. Shein masrin min achodesh ala yoshan. We can't have him take the tithe from this year's produce because of a rule that says you don't remove or you don't tithe from new growth to exempt last year's or old growth. The Rashi continues in the next Dibur Masala, Fi cheshbon yaser halitra shini cheshtakeid. He has to, in his tithing now, after he harvests the new growth, he has to take into account that original litra that he planted. Alma, we see from all of this, the ein b'teilosei de karka. And what does that mean? That it's not canceled through the ground? The afagav, shenizra, even though it's all been planted, chayov b'trumas meiser. The obligation of removing the original trumas meiser remains. V'koshel Rabbi Ami, this is a problem for Rabbi Ami, that this goes way back to Nun Zayin Amud Beis, the Pshito Lei, the Gedilei Hefter, Malnes Yisr. Rabbi Ami had felt, he had when he eventually answered the question again, he had felt that the subsequent Hefter growth does cancel the original Yisr. Here we see that we're not ignoring the original Yisr. Actually, more accurate, we're not voiding the original Isser. We still are tending to it. The Gemara then answers. And we continue now at the top line of Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Amri, Meiser, the Isser over here is an Isser of Meisris, of Trumas Meiser. Digun hu de kagorim lei. It's not an example of the ground creating the Isser. It's what makes grains liable or subject or obligated in being tithed. It's not their growth. It's the processing of it. Digun has to do with the piling up of the grains. And we can see in the Ran at the top line, Meiser digun udikah gorim le shayadei digun mischayev v'meiser v'loyadei karka. So that if we had originally we had an attempt to challenge Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonason from the Menachish source, Rabbi Yitzchok had given an answer that Shvius is different from them, because Shvius is something, since the Isser is through the Karka, the cancellation can also come through the Karka, and we just now thought that we were able to challenge his analysis, and the result is we're not able to challenge Reb Yitzchok's analysis. Notice the positioning of the triangles, just like the Reb Yitzchok triangle was inverted, the final point of the Gemara at the top of Nuntes Amud Aleph, also the triangle is inverted, thereby showing that Rav Yitzchok's point remains, and if you thought to challenge it from this case of Maestris, so we were questioning on a mistaken assumption. We thought that Maestris was an Isser that comes through the Karka, and as we had seen that the planting of it and their growth is that which obligates them in being tithed, that's not so. It's the human involvement, the processing of the grains that instills within them and obligates them to be tithed. Now, I want to emphasize that we are still in the middle of this long discussion, but we've already spilled over an entire daf beyond the daf yomi quota. So you should realize, though, that the musiv, this word at the end of the top line here on Daf Nun Tesam Aleph, is going to be a kasha on the opinion that gidulin are mevatel. Up till now, that's what we've been working with. Let's say just Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonasan aside, they were dealing with special isurim. But besides that, when you're dealing with the Shemitah issue, which has certainly been the mainstay of our discussion till this point, we've been claiming that gidulin are mevatel the ikar. That is going to be brought into question as the Gemara goes on. So, Mirtz Hashem, when we pick up our next shiur, we're going to do so without too much introduction, hoping that you will have listened to this. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.